right, Joshua. I like Joshua. Joshua's been a fun book. I've been actually been studying and reading in the book of Joshua for a while now, reading a number of different authors, just trying to see at different perspectives in regards to the life of the man. Now, we're going to continue kind of where we left off last week. So we'll actually be in Joshua chapter 1 this morning. But before I start, I kind of want to kind of give you some background of where we're at. Because if you look at where we left off last week, it basically was where the spies told Moses, don't go in. 10 of them. Bad. Evil. You know, it looks good, but it's dangerous. It won't work. We'll die. Matter of fact, we'd rather go back to Egypt. Even though there was two that believed God, trusted him. But what we learn, though, is that sometimes people, I guess, are willing to believe a negative report, even though it's not God's report. So instead of them going into the promised land that God intended for them to go into, they spent the next 40 years wandering around in a desert. Now, why 40 years? Well, believe it or not, it actually was a punishment. And the 40 years, see, God told them, I'm not letting you now into the promised land. See, interesting tidbit, it's not even in my notes, but if you read the story, as soon as they basically said, we're not going to the land, and God got angry, and God basically started, you know, to list off all these bad things that were going to happen to them because of them being disobedient, they said, well, no, wait a minute. We'll go anyway. We were just kidding. We'll go into the promised land. And so they're like, quick, get the armies, get everyone, let's go now. We're in the big, I mean, you ever done that with your kids? You know, they do something wrong and you tell them their punishment of this. They're like, no, I was just kidding. I will clean my room. I will do my homework. You know, I will do all that. And you're like, you can do whatever you want. You're still getting your punishment. And matter of fact, God literally says, don't even try to go across. If you do, you'll be destroyed. I'm not going to go with you. The giants that are over there, they will crush you. So what we have now is a time in the wilderness. God basically says, I'm going to wipe out this entire generation. I'm going to wipe you out. Why? Because you didn't believe me. You didn't trust me. Matter of fact, we read it in Numbers chapter 14. Starting in verse 21, Numbers 14, verse 21, it says, but as truly as I live, as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, none of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not obeyed my voice shall see the land that I swore to give to their fathers. And none of those who despised me shall see it. So basically, why were they in there for 40 years? Because it took 40 years to kill off that generation. Eventually, they died. They got old. So what does that teach us about history? Well, number one, it teaches us that God is willing to forgive us. You know why? Because after that generation died, he brought them right back to the same Jordan River. So God is a forgiving God. God will forgive you. But you know what it also teaches you? Is there are consequences to disobedience. When God tells you to do something and you say no, just like a child who walks up to their parent, they tell them to do something, they look at them and they say no, a good parent will give them a consequence, right? Well, that's what God did. Now, I can promise you this, though. You rarely will agree on God's punishment. You will, believe it or not. Matter of fact, have you, as parents, have you ever had a time when you punished your kids for something and they told you it was just too harsh? That's too big of a punishment. Have they ever done that to you? You know, they went up and told you, look, it wasn't a big deal. I mean, look, you are totally overreacting. You know, matter of fact, look, I got friends and they do that exact same thing all the time. All the time they do it. I mean, look, all right, or how maybe they get a little repentant. All right, look, I'm sorry, okay? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have said that. And all right, look, I won't do it again. I won't do it again. So how about we just put this behind us? You know, let's just move on, you know, because I'm not going to do it again. So you don't need to punish me or anything. We'll both agree that it was a difficult situation and we'll just move on. See, all the parents are laughing at me because of, you know. Look, wise parents, they see the seeds of rebellion, lying, and other things in their kids. They see them. They know that if that lesson isn't learned now, they will learn it later in life when it's much more difficult, when the consequences are so much higher. See, God saw that. God decided to do a reset button on the nation of Israel. He was going to wait until every single person that came over from Egypt was dead, except for Joshua and Caleb, the two spies who gave the good report. He was going to leave no eyewitnesses of all the miracles that happened in Egypt. No eyewitnesses. So, I mean, in some ways, you know, I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but there's not going to be anyone who saw that. But there's also going to be no one left who had that seed of rebellion inside them that said, no, we're not going to cross. You know what's interesting, though? Even Moses didn't even get into the promised land. He didn't. If you continue on in the book of Numbers, you'll see that Moses is dealing with a nation of full of complainers. I mean, trust me, they're not happy. They had the chance to go to the promised land. They lost that chance. And now they're wandering in a desert. Well, it comes to a point where they've run out of water, you know, and even they're thirsty, and even their cattle, all the cattle that they're bringing around, they're thirsty too. So they're complaining again. And so Moses does what he normally does. He goes to God and says, all right, God, you know, they're at it again. They're complaining all over again. And God gives them a plan. Okay, this is what you need to do. Do this. Well, Moses, he gets fed up with the people. He gets angry at them. And instead of following God's commands, he does what he wants to do. Completely disobeys God. Choice. So by doing that, God then says, all right, now you're not going into the promised land. That was his punishment for not following the voice of God. See, do you understand that not following the voice of God in your life, it impacts more than just you? It does. Some people think, well, no, look, I do this, but it only hurts me. No, it doesn't. Matter of fact, what I find interesting is that actually Moses and Aaron would have been in the promised land if they had followed God's command the first time. I think that happens often in our life. We miss God opportunities. We see the consequences in our life. We get angry at God, when in the reality, the only reason why that we're not getting the things that God has promised us has really been our own choices. Now, what I want to do this morning, though, is I want to look at where we're at in the life of Joshua. We're going to start in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now, remember, the old generation is now gone. God is beginning something new in Israel. Now, why is he starting something new? Because God always remembers his promises. That's one of the greatest things that we have as a heritage, is that God always remembers his promises. And so even though people like us, we fall into sin, we do things that are disobedient to God, thankfully, when we repent, when we change, when we turn our hearts back to God, those promises are still there for us. And that's what we'll see starting in the book of Joshua. Sorry. So Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. I'll have the verses behind me for those of you who don't want to look them up. That's fine. So we'll read. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Kind of a poignant statement, huh, from God? Well, I've learned this, and this is what we're going to really going to be talking about all this morning, is when God calls you, what does that mean? Well, number one, when God calls you, God buries your past. When God calls you, God buries your past. Now, I'm not even saying whether the past is good or bad. We've kind of talked about this before. God knows that unless you're able to move on from your past, you'll never be able to experience the future that God has for you. Matter of fact, it was probably about 4 years ago, I remember getting a phone call from my dad. And he told me that he believed that God was asking him to step down as pastor here at Faith Christian Assembly. Kind of a strange phone call to get from your dad. And he didn't stop there, though. I remember him then saying, and I want you to consider becoming the pastor here, because I'm getting a sensing that this is may be what God wanted for you. I really didn't know what to say. I mean, what do you say to your dad on the phone when he talks to you that way? I mean, see, what he didn't know was that I was already actively candidating for different churches in Massachusetts. See, God had already spoken to me and Sharon, and he kind of had told us that it was time for me to quit my job in the corporate world and to begin to look toward full-time ministry as a pastor. Matter of fact, I had already talked to Pastor Bob Wise. He was my district pastor here in southern New England. He was working with me and Sharon to see if there were, I guess, if God had opportunities for us here in southern New England. Because honestly, me and my wife, we were open to anywhere that God wanted to bring us. We had a church in, was it Wisconsin, who reached out and wanted us to come out there. We had a church in Maine that reached out and wanted us to come up there. But, what do you do when God puts a fork in your road? You know what I mean? Because remember, Joshua had been Moses' right-hand man for a long time by now. He had. Whatever Moses asked, Joshua did. If Moses said God had spoken, you know what Joshua did? Everything Moses told him to do. Everything. Down to the knit. He did everything that God asked. But see, now Moses is dead. The one that Joshua had faithfully followed wasn't there to follow anymore. It seems, and maybe you'll agree with me, it seems that sometimes that there has to be a death in our life. That God has to let something die before we're ready to take a step of faith to move in a different direction. Actually, I remember when I was in Tulsa, I remember I got a phone call from my mom. It was about a bad medical report. You know, that was the first time it ever opened my eyes to think that I would move from Tulsa back to this part of the country. Never even thought of it. I remember when I got laid off at Stanley Black & Decker. I had been there for almost 15 years. I was doing really well there. That was the first time that God opened my eyes to the possibilities that full-time ministry may not be in the future, but it might be now. See, I'm not saying that God always has to bring death in your life before we're willing to change. I have learned that when big forks come in the road, we are open to possibilities that we would never before even have even thought of going down. Joshua came face to face with one of those life events. Moses died. We'll continue, verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. See, I've learned that when God calls you, number 2, God also directs you. He directs you. Arise. Stand up. There are times in our life when a Moses dies, when you have one of those types of life events, that we desperately need to hear the voice of God. We need his direction on where to go. Why? You know why? Because what I've learned, when a Moses dies in your life, you know what you end up doing? Sitting down. You end up being tired. You end up not wanting to go forward anymore. Death hurts. Change is not something that we should just take casually. We shouldn't. Look, it's not always a bad thing, I'm going to tell you, because, you know, we need to hear the voice of God before we go forward. And that's important. Taking some downtime to pray, listen, read the Word of God, and hear what he's saying That's wise. You know, I love the fact in the scripture that the first thing out of God's mouth to Joshua was to acknowledge the elephant in the room. He literally goes to him and says, Moses is dead. I can imagine that Joshua's mourning this. What do I do now? I've always followed him. He's been the one that heard the voice of God and told me where to go. But God doesn't stop there, though, right? He says, it's time to move on. So get up, take the entire nation, and go get the land that I've already given to you. I've told you to do it before. Now go do it. See, when God directs your life, change will be involved. I promise you that. He will ask you to get up and move. There will be effort required on your part. It may demand us to go to a new place. It might, matter of fact, it might require a new direction. You're not going this way anymore, you're going that way now. It may be a reminder of what you were supposed to do before. That's why they did this big, long circle back to the Jordan River. All right, are you ready to go now? So get up and take the entire nation and go. See, no matter what that changes, though, you can always trust God will direct your paths. We know that. Why? His word says that in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Most of us have even memorized this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Did he say he would make them easy? What's the great thing about a straight path? You know which way you're going, right? He makes it abundantly clear the direction you need to go. See, our part is to trust God and walk the path that he's put in front of us. And God does that with Joshua. God directs him. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I have promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. See, God directs Joshua by reminding him of his promises. His promises. See, God leads by promises. God does not lead by explanations. He doesn't. Matter of fact, I have learned that God rarely gives us the details on how things are done. All he tells us is that it's going to happen. We don't like that. God, give me the 5-point plan. All we are left to do is to trust him. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I shall be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. You see, when God calls you, number 3, he also prepares and equips you. Just as I was with Moses. See, Joshua was prepared. Why? Because he sat under the wisdom and the faithfulness of Moses. That statement describes the experience that Joshua had as he watched Moses and he followed him. Look, I remember, what was it, like 12 or 13 years that I sat under and served my dad. I didn't just serve him because he was my dad. I served him because he was my pastor. He was the one who I had decided, this is where God has me. This is where God's called me, so I'm going to follow. But look, I learned things like it was more important to love the person than what the person can do for you. You better learn that before you become a pastor, before you become a leader, I promise you. See, I learned you had to be a good steward of the tithes and offerings that people gave to the church. You have to, because it's God's, it's not yours. See, I learned you had to be very careful when you're dealing with the apple of God's eye. That was something my dad used to talk to me all about. Buddy, the apple of God's eye. We've always wanted to kind of smack, you know, like, ugh. No, that's the apple of God's eye. God loved them enough to die for them. See, a wise leader does not abandon the past. Doesn't. Matter of fact, and you don't learn those from books. You know what you learn them from? You learn them from the Word of God and watching someone put them into practice. That's how you learn them. Look, for example, I've learned that me and my dad, we have very different approach when it comes to how things are done. We do. I've also learned the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in both of us. It does. Same vision. Same end game. We both want to reach as many people as we possibly can with the gospel. You know, you'll notice if you read through the book of Joshua, the name Moses shows up 57 times, and he's dead. 57 times it shows up. That shows how much Joshua respected Moses and what he had did for Israel. Look, Joshua worshiped the same God that Moses did. He obeyed the same laws that Moses gave. There was continuity from one leader to the next. There wasn't conformity, though. There wasn't. And that's different. Each leader was different. Each had their own personal identity. And that wasn't a bad thing. Moses was a man of war. Joshua was a man of war. But God called both of them to take the nation of Israel into the promised land. Let's continue. Verse 8. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. See, God doesn't prepare us with just godly examples. God equips us with his word. Look, and think about this. When I think of equipment, I think of something that's given to us that makes the job easier, that makes you more efficient, that makes it, you know, easier to accomplish what you want to get done. Look, so what we read here in the Bible, it's saying is that if you memorize it to the point where it becomes a part of you, it causes you to become prosperous and successful. Doesn't that kind of sound like the best equipment possible? Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Isn't that the third time now we've heard those words? You think Joshua may be getting a little theme, as he's hearing the voice of God? Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You could take this to the bank. When God calls you, number 4, he goes with you. He goes with you. Look, that's the scripture I have on my bedroom wall. It's the constant reminder that God, when he calls you to do something, he goes with you. You do not do it alone. You don't. And you know what? Joshua learned this from Moses. Remember my sermon from Emmanuel? We read it back in Exodus 33. Moses said, I'm not moving an inch unless what? Unless God, you come with me. I don't want an angel. I don't care if you promise me protection. I don't care if you're going to feed us. I don't care if you even are going to get us into the promised land. God, unless you are coming with me, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. See, and that's the one statement that Joshua heard that kind of sealed the deal with him, right? God is with you wherever you go. He's like, all right, that's all I needed to know. And that's what happened to me. Through the whole process of me praying about FCA, becoming a candidate, having the election, I gotta tell you, God walked me through the whole process, and I needed him to. I have learned that unless God is walking with me, I don't wanna go. I don't, it's just not worth it. Look, even if I'm successful in my eyes, even if I'm successful in the eyes of other people, it doesn't matter to me. You know whose eyes that I want to be successful in? One, God's. When my Father in heaven can look down at me and say, yeah, boy. When I get an applaud from my Father in heaven, verse 10, and Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in and take possession of the land that your God, that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. So after God calls you, what does God expect from you? Well, number one, obedience. God expects you to walk in obedience. When God calls you to action, He isn't looking for a debate. He isn't looking for a, should I do this? Should I not do this? I have learned this, though. It is actually wise to ask some questions to clarify some things. It is. Like, who does God want you to reach out to? You know, what does God want you to do? When does God want you to do it? You know, how should you do it? Look, those are not only just legitimate questions, those are wise questions. It is wise to take, when God speaks to you, to take it in prayer. It is wise to do that. Why? Because it shows that you honor and respect Him as Lord and Master. It shows that, God, I want to do whatever you've asked me to do to the greatest that I can. I want to make sure that I knock it out of the park. Why? Because you are worthy of the best. The Bible says, whatever you do, do it as heartily as unto the Lord, not as if you're doing it to man. Do it as if you're doing it to God. Amen. But you know what I've learned, though? There's one question God doesn't want. He doesn't want the why question. He doesn't. Now, why does that bother God? Well, look, and I've learned this as a parent. You know what I've learned? When I ask my kids to do something and they ask me the why question, there's really only really one reason why they're doing it. They don't want to do it. And they're hoping they can talk me out of making them do it. Well, guess what? You can't talk God out of it. You know why? Bad question. The reason is because God has a plan and a purpose. And you know what? You get the honor of being a part of it. Right. You do. And you know what? You can say no. You can. God will still accomplish His plan and purpose without you. Do you want that? I don't. See, and God also, what else does He expect you to do? He expects you to, number two, to walk in courage. Yes, God expects you to walk in courage. I love the way that the verse reads in 9. God commanded Joshua to be strong and courageous. He commanded it. Now, why? Because God knows that I'm going with you. So if I'm with you, how can you not be strong and courageous? If you have the Lord God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, walking alongside you, how can you not be strong and courageous? I can promise you this. If God tells you to do something and God is with you, you will accomplish it. It's not an if, it's a when. So when God is with you, how can you not? I remember having some other conversations with my dad. Look, there were times, I'll be transparent with you, where I've wanted to quit. I have. As your pastor, I have won. Why? Bad question again. Why? Because I thought the cost was too high for me. Then I remember looking at the cost of my family. I thought it was too high, God. That's too much. But see, that's why I got that verse from my bedroom wall. It's the last thing I see when I go to bed. Strong and courageous, I am with you. When I wake up in the morning and I, you know, a little blurry, kind of strong and courageous, for I am with you. I have. I've had other conversations with my dad. I remember asking him if he ever wanted to quit. It did. When you're going through something, you need to learn to talk to other people. You can't live life alone. It's foolish. you'll get weak and you'll die. So I did. So I went to my dad. I said, Dad, do you ever want to quit? He just smiles at me. He just smiles. Kind of shakes his head a little bit. And he goes, I understand. He goes, I understand. And I remember once he pointed me to a portion of scripture where people started leaving Jesus, some of his disciples. He looked at his 12. He literally looked them in the eye and said, are you going to leave me too? I mean, trust me, I don't think Jesus was nervous, because Jesus was going to be able to accomplish what Jesus was going to accomplish. I remember, this was done not for Jesus. This was done for the disciples. He looked at them and said, are you going to leave me too? I love their simple answer. Yeah, I wrote it perfectly down. Yeah, to whom else would we go? I mean, isn't that like the perfect answer? And so when my dad kind of pointed me there, it's like, that's what I kind of looked at. It's like, what else would I do? When God calls you to do something, how can you not do what God asked you to do? Are you going to be happy doing anything else? I would be scared if I was starting to be happy doing something other than what God wanted me to do. The third thing God expects you to do is God expects you to bring other people with you. He does. That actually was one of the biggest takeaways that me and my wife got when we went on our pastor's retreat in October, was to not do ministry alone anymore. Not. No more. No more solo ministry. Partner with someone. Make sure that either you are mentoring someone or someone's mentoring you. Lock arms with someone else. Why? Because you need to put into someone what God has given you. And also, you need to receive from someone else what God has put into them. No more solo ministry at FCA. Find someone. Serve alongside someone. Don't live life alone. Now, well, are there times that God will ask you to walk the road alone? Yeah, he will. He does. Sometimes he does. But I've learned this. Most of the time, he doesn't. That's why he said in Genesis 2, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not. That's why God specifically made helpers. He did. All right. Let me finish up. Joshua, let's go to 16. And then they answer Joshua, all that you've commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. See, after God calls you, you know what I've learned he does? He surrounds you with what you need. He does. See, when you're a part of God's family, you know what he does? He provides people praying for you. I love the fact that the people went to Joshua and they basically wanted to let them know, Joshua, we're praying for you. We're praying that God would be with him just like he was with Moses. They understood that unless God was directing Joshua like Moses, there was the risk that they were going to miss God. They didn't want that. So, as your pastor, please remember to pray for me. Please. Look, I take being your pastor so serious. I need to hear the voice of God. I do. You know what I need sometimes? I need sometimes you to hear the voice of God, and you be brave and strong enough to tell me what God has said, because it may be just what I needed to hear at that time. That's why we've done such a strong emphasis this year on prayer and fasting, hearing the voice of God, allowing you a place to put your thoughts down. Let everyone know what God's saying. Why? Because he speaks to all of you. And we all need to know. I've also learned that when you're a part of God's family, God gives you people willing to either be led or they're willing to follow. Sometimes God will. He'll call you to lead, and God will give you the people necessary to follow after you. Other times, God's going to say, no, stop leading. You follow that one. And you know what? If your pride doesn't let you do one of those two, you're going to miss out on what God has for you. All right. So where are we going in 2008? I believe 2018 is going to be a fork in the road for many of you. Look, a Moses might die. There's going to be a fork. I know for Faith Christian Assembly, we are at a fork in the road. We are. And we're going to have to hear the voice of God, understand where he's directing us to go, listen and obey. We have to. I mean, what will God call you to do? Well, to some of you, he may ask you to serve in a different way. It may be completely foreign to what you've done in the past. God may ask you to step up and start mentoring someone and impart the gifts that God has put inside you. Some of you may need to humble yourself, seek out someone who has the gifts that you need and say, help me. Help me get there. Teach me. God may call you to step up and lead when all you've been doing is following so far. Look, we've had a number of senior leaders leave and move away to other states. You know what that means? It means it's time for those of you who've been here for a while to step up and be the leaders that God has called you to be. Why? Not because you want to, not because it's convenient, not because it's fun or fair. I can tell you as pastor, it's none of those things. But when God calls you, how can you say no? What else would you do? Where else would you go? Be strong and courageous. Why? Because God is with you, and he will give you the strength necessary to accomplish what God has called you to do. I can promise you that change will be required. If you stay at FCA, change will be required. I can promise you there will be a cost. Promise you there will be a cost. I can promise you that you have an enemy that does not like what I'm preaching. When you leave through here, you'll be like, man, he was all ranting this morning. Who is he to say that I need to sit underneath somebody? He should be asking me to lead something. Why hasn't he asked me to lead? Or, oh, he keeps asking me to lead. You know, I'm tired of leading. Can't I just follow for a while? You have an enemy that wants to ruin the plans that God has for you. And you know what? Who are you going to listen to? I can promise you this. If you stand like Joshua did, you begin to move in the direction that God has called you to move, you will one day hear what we all want to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. Let me end with this scripture, Joshua 24, verse 15. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Why do I love that scripture? Number one, Joshua didn't tell him what to do, did he? Matter of fact, Joshua was so convinced that God was the right one to serve that he brought up all the other ones too. Egyptian gods, the gods around the river, the gods that you're dwelling with. You can choose anyone you want. But you know what I'm doing? I'm serving God. So you know what? People will often come to me as pastor and they'll say, you know, pastor, what should I do? I'm not going to tell you. Why? You need to choose. You may ask, pastor, what would you do in that situation? And you know what? I might tell you. Probably won't. Why? Because that's your backdoor way of getting me to tell you what to do. Yeah, I'm pretty smart. I've got kids. 2018, fork. Some of you know exactly what God wants you to do. Some of you have already said no. And God's about to point toward a wilderness for a while. Don't go there. Some of you, God has told what to do. And you haven't chosen yet, I'm going to tell you, choose. Choose to serve God. Follow him. Follow him with everything you got. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. You won't go alone. Some of you have chosen to serve God, and you're walking toward a river that's raging, and it's scaring you. You got to remember, hold his hand. I love the scriptures that say, the steps of a good man are order of the Lord, and he delights in his way. And though he fall, he shall not be cast down, because God upholds him with his hand. You know what that means? It means no matter what life brings you, if you're walking hand in hand with God, you won't fall, because he'll catch you. He'll bring you back up. I'm telling you, walking hand in hand with God through the life's worst journeys is so much better than the sandiest beaches alone. I'm telling you, let 2018 be the year that you hear the voice of God and go all in no matter what he asks. I'm telling you, it will be the most exciting year you've ever had in your life. You'll be able to look back and see, wow, look what God has done. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand with me?